Good morning, Apocalypse. How are you?
Good morning, Apocalypse. How are you?
So did you guys see the latest?
Which latest?
The nuclear power plant in Nebraska. That's the...
I thought of you
when I saw that.
Well, okay. So
I thought of you. I thought of you not not having dairy because we're talking about the dairy belt here. And I thought, okay, that's it.
Iowa.
No more sour cream. That's it. Cutting you off.
I don't think we're gonna miss it, friends. But no, check this out. And then immediately thereafter, I read this article about above. You know, it's this bold article: above average radiation found in Pennsylvania to cause birth defects from Fukushima. And I'm like, Pennsylvania
already?
No, I don't.
Already
think so.
birth defects?
Well, you know,
no,
to me, this is just
if
hey.
Anything,
don't you think this is karmic payback for like Hiroshima and Nagasaki?
Oh yeah. That's the first thing that came to my mind.
Don't you think this is like, okay, you know, America thought America was immune. The Japanese would never retaliate. Don't you think this is, in a way, some sort of karmic justice?
Here's the thing, though. There's no way that this radiation from Fukushima has caused that problem in Pennsylvania.
That's out of line there.
Some industrial
Hey, look,
company.
The bad guys are going to light it up. I mean, here's what I got. I got this spiritual download today, and it all kind of – there's a podcast coming. You'll love it, Frankie. It's very smackola. It's all dealing with the number 11, you know, and – it's kind of like begins in Revelation 11, where I'm looking at Revelation 11. Then eventually I'm just led to go through every 11th verse of every chapter in the book of Revelation. And it tells a story because, see, here's what I got. Here's the download I got today. You'll love this, audience. You'll like this. The download I got today. So I'm there and I'm getting this, like, you know, insane spiritual thing. And it's telling me that they are afraid of the number 11. I mean, they are in dread of the number 11. It's not like it's a number they really like. And let me just tell you why. The book of Revelation is what is a perfect doppelganger. It is only really 11 chapters long, but it's two sets of 11 chapters equaling 22 chapters, or 2 times 11. Are you with me so far? Okay. Whether you are or not, I'm going to cram it down your throat anyway.
What's that, the yin and the yang, the even and the odd?
No, it's a doppelganger. If you take chapter 1 through 11 and chapter 12 through 22 and superimpose them on top of one another, you actually wind up with the exact same story, only it's more layered, more multidimensional.
Because, oh, that's neat. See this pattern.
Well, let me show you why. Let me just go to Revelation 11. Let me just explain why. A lot of people think that the two witnesses is mysterious, and they kind of avoid it because they don't really get the two witnesses and the candlesticks and all that. I
don't see how these people can stand on the street.
In my podcast, I tell you what the two witnesses is. I explain it, okay, so people can understand it. But
so it's not two blokes on the street in Israel.
No. But nice. Let me. I don't want to do that. Now, don't try to jimmy it out of me right now. Okay.
Wait, that's what I tell the dogs.
Wait for it, Frankie. Okay, so here's what happens. Basically what chapter 11 is all about, it's all about the transfer of the nations of the earth, the kingdoms of the earth, from Satan to Christ. Okay. And that's really what it's about. And basically, that's also where if you look carefully in Revelation 11:13, you'll see that it's really also the fall of Babylon. And if you just keep on going down, you'll see that what they really fear, and they, okay, this is where they are identified. The Lord, the God's word calls the people, them, who, when we refer to they, okay, they're called earth dwellers, and also destroyers of the earth. And part of the download I got is that the environmentalists are really destroyers of the environment.
Oh, yeah.
Which is interesting. But,
oh, God, yes. I mean, you know, they killed all the trees in California.
And look
right?
at look the, and the PETA, too.
Preservation of the forests has led to complete devastation.
endless forest fires,
PETA,
yes.
too. They're killing a lot of animals.
Okay, so these are the destroyers of the earth, the environmentalists, the eco people, and all these kind of people. They may not intend it, but here's what they really are. They're called earth dwellers. Now, the earth dweller, well, there's a lot to it. I go into this whole thing in the podcast, so you have to tune into that sometime after you listen.
Tell the people how to find the podcast.
Well, okay, you got to go to zephdaniel.com, and then you'll see it. You'll see these two shows, these 2 hours will be up there that we're on now on WWCR, and then you'll see this third one, which is basically called The Curse/Blessing of 11, okay, where I deal with Revelation 11 and the number 11. And you'll be able to understand kind of where we are and what's going on and why 11 is such an important number and why it's both a blessing and a curse. But the same people are also referred to not only as the earth dwellers, not only as the destroyers, but they're also called the nations. And nation in the Greek translates to the word Gentiles, okay? But what's important is this. So people mistake the word Gentiles for meaning,
not Jew.
Not Jew. And instead of understanding the word really means nation. Okay, so it says, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the time of the dead. In other words, the time they die. Then that they should be judged, and that thou should reward. And here's what else makes them angry. That you, God, reward the prophets, your servants, the saints, all who fear your name, small and great, are rewarded while they get punished. That's Revelation 11, and that's the final move of God. And then, finally, to wrap it all up, and you could actually end it Revelation 11:19 as the end of the book of as the end of the entire apocalypse. The final verse says, "And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the Ark of the Testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail," which then it, after that, in the succeeding chapters, it's all kind of summed up. You know, the Mark of the Beast is explained, all that stuff. But all that can be superimposed over where the seals are, because at the end of the seventh seal, that's the end of it, right? So you have to understand it's a continuing doppelganger in layered over itself.
Kind of looking at the same thing from two different places.
Okay. The also in Revelation 11, the seventh angel sounded. That's the final angel, is the seventh one. And it says this in Revelation 11:15. "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ." In other words, of Christ, of God. "And he shall reign forever and ever." Game over. Okay? Everything. Game over. And anyway, the game over occurs actually in 11. The other thing is, everyone's looking at 2012 as their big date. I'm giving you a big prophecy thing here today. I'm sorry. But I hope it resonates. But the 12 is their big date. Why should I apologize? Actually, that's what you're here for.
So what about 7, though?
No, hold on. Number, well, seven is the number of the angels and the plagues and all that. But what I'm saying is this.
Oh.
And the name of the thunders are seven thunders, and it's like the sacred number. But 8 is actually the number of completion or the next dimension. 8 is actually, you know, beginning again. But the point is that they fear 11. And like I said, if you go through the book, this is what they do. They go through the book of Revelation looking at the 11th verse of every chapter. What I did is I began with 11:11, beginning here, 11:11. Let me show you what that is. "After 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, into the witnesses. And they stood up upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them." Them refers to the earth dwellers. They get frightened whenever there's something about spiritual stuff.
Something from God.
Something from God frightens them. And then they get angry because they are, you know, killed and judged. But then let's go to, okay, so then we go to 12:11. And then if you go to 12:11, it says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." Then we go to 13:11. Okay, and so this is, you know, pissing them off. "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." Okay, then we go to 14:11. And pieced together, it all tells the story. I'm going to just do this briefly. "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night." See why they fear 11. "Who worship the beast or his image, and whosoever shall receive the mark of his name, they will have no rest day or night, and will be tormented forever and ever." 15:11. Okay, so I think you get the idea, and you can do this yourselves, obviously, and there's probably more. There is no 15:11. You have to go to 16:11. And then 16:11 is, "And blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores," because they're getting angry that they're being tormented. "And but they repented not of their deeds." Well, that's the second time that they haven't repented. Remember, the first time was at the end of chapter 9. They don't repent. And then here we are in chapter 16, and they don't repent. So you get the idea, they're not repenting, okay? In other words, let me just sum it up for you. They're not going to repent. "And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and of the seven, and goes into perdition." Their God is destroyed. 18:11. Okay? And then you get to 18:11, and "the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth the merchandise anymore." Babylon falls. Okay, 19:11. You know, this is not good for them. Okay, I better add him in here. Yes, Govin. I am sorry, Govin. I didn't see you there. I got so wrapped up in this thing I was doing here with the book of Revelation.
Govind, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Awesome.
Okay.
From Sri Lanka.
No, he's in Italy. He's in Italy today.
Ah, well, our globetrotting brethren.
Yep.
Anyway,
so at Viltopia, okay, these Indians, Asian Indians, are showing up, and every one of them has SRI in their name. Every one of them. It's like, What are y'all from Sri Lanka or something or what?
Let me say this. So when we get to Revelation 20:11, it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was no place for them." Again, them, the word them goes back to chapter 11. Them means the earth dwellers, the destroyers of the earth. 11 is a number of dread for the Illuminati. It's a number of great pain and dread. So they make their attacks on 11s, on the 11s, and they want to wrap this whole thing up by 11, 11, 11, not 12, 21, 12, which is interesting because it's 12, and then 21 is backwards 12, and then another 12, which is like 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, right? Instead, it's 11, 11 that if they don't wrap it up.
What's that?
I don't know what that is. If they don't wrap it up, I think I'm hearing an echo. If they don't wrap it up by 11, in other words, 11, 11, 11 is a day of vengeance for them.
That was my fault. I was doing that. Sorry.
What are you
my
doing?
My bad.
You're not having dairy, though, because it's contaminated.
I pushed the wrong button. I was
That's like
an echo,
Mel Gibson. Remember in that movie, Edge of Darkness?
Okay. Well, anyway, so there. I'm not. Look, the rest of it I deal with in a podcast. And if you listen to it, download it. It's a free download. You will get all the everything about Revelation 11, the two witnesses, the significance of 11, 11 throughout the rest of the apocalypse and what it means. I haven't done the 12s, but, I mean, you know, you'll get the idea that the book of Revelation is divided into two sets of 11, 1 through 11 and then 12 through 22. You put those on top of each other like a sandwich. And then you get a multidimensional view, and it all lines up. We can do all that.
Can we stay on the air what kind of sandwich that might be for some people?
Well, it might be a you-know-what kind of sandwich that they don't want to eat. But I can tell you this, folks. You people that love the Lord, you look at that. The book of Revelation has never been a mystery to those who love God.
You can see it coming, man. I mean,
to those who love God, it's never been a mystery.
The whole idea of being forced to have a mark on your forehand or on your forehead or on your arm somewhere, right?
Well, it'll be invisible. And it will be invisible, you know, to us.
I mean, around here they got cops pulling people over, and allegedly, I've never had it happen to me yet, but it will, drawing blood from people on the street. I mean, that's pretty close to you don't have the mark on your forehead. Sorry. I mean,
that's pretty bad.
Well, at this point, I can just tell you that a lot of people looking at 2012, and I agree, we have 12, 21, 12, which is actually 12, then reverse 12, then 12. And 12 is two sixes, or, four threes, I suppose. You could have four threes, and you add them up, four threes, and four threes, and four threes. Or
Jack
if you like,
just said that 11-11 is Veterans Day.
Yes, but it's 11-11-11. And, you know, that's lining up with their 11s in the book of Revelation. You see, the Illuminati really studies this book of Revelation, and they figure out where they can put all of, you know, all these things in. Now we have Brother Pat on with.
Oh,
hey,
cool.
Brother Pat, say hello to your friend, Govinda.
Hi. What's going on? I talked to you.
Hey, what's up, Pat?
Hey, all right, guys.
So this is a chance for you guys to talk.
Yeah.
We just caught up today.
You caught up today. Cool.
Okay, well,
it's cool catching up with you. How's Italy, Govinda?
It's beautiful.
Awesome.
Gosh, it's beautiful. I mean, it's just the food is amazing here.
Of course.
Well, you don't have to tell us that.
Yeah, people are very passionate over here, and
it's funny.
It's a real neat spot.
When my daughter comes here from Italy, though, she lives in Florence, and like her mom is a really great cook. And
I don't like that food over there. It's
she's exposed
bland.
To nothing
I
but good
to,
food. Well, when she comes
bland,
here, when
frankly.
She comes here, what she likes is she wants sushi and fast food.
Yeah. See, the thing is, you go to Spain, and I went into this restaurant with a friend of mine. I was like, man, I'm going to get me some nachos and a taco and some jalapeno.
Okay. Well, look, Govinda's enjoying the food. Let's
not
let him
nothing like that.
Let's
man.
Let
it
him enjoy.
I love the food in Italy.
Govinda, I can't
too.
Get a word in edgewise anymore. We're also joined by John from the vast desert sub-ocean.
Yeah. John, what's up, John?
Below sea level.
Hello, below sea level. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good this fine day. I was just listening to what you were saying about the 11, and just for the heck of it, I went to Ezekiel 38 and 39.
Yep, that too.
And Ezekiel 38, 11 talks about God, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages, I will go to a peaceful people. And if you look at Ezekiel 39, 11, it will come to pass that day that I will give God a burial place in Israel.
Okay, now 38:11. If you, I mean, I don't want to get too much into numerology, but if you take the 8 and the 3, that's 11 again, of 38.
True.
I don't want to. No, I mean, I don't know. This is jumping out at me like
it just
11,
came over him this morning.
11 is
early.
All over me. So look, here's what I said. Here's another part of the spiritual download. They want the wrap up, whatever that means, martial law, this or that, before 11:11:11.
Oh, please.
So when they launch their false flag attacks, which they're going to do, because the more Obama sinks, the more they're getting ready to, you know, they're getting itchy on that trigger finger. Don't you people let them get away with it. You get up in their face and you tell them, false flag, like kind of like Alex Jones style. Go ahead.
There you go. Before it happens, please.
This is where Alex's bullhorn will really come in handy, because this is really what they're going to be doing very soon. So I want you all to be ready for that, not freak out when it happens, because they're losing power. They're being mocked on the internet. They're being laughed at. And when that happens, they launch attack. Remember,
what about this latest shenanigans with the War Powers Act? Obama saying, I've got permission from the UN. I don't need it.
I know,
Congress.
But because people are not respecting him, he has an empty hole of disrespect. What's happening is, you know, they're going to fill that hole with, okay, we got to shore up the dictator. So they're going to have to launch attacks to get martial law in so that, you know, people will have to listen to Zig Heil. Remember that Obama is a slave. He is owned jointly by George Soros and Zbigniew Brzezinski, both of whom hate Israel,
people of color.
Both of whom hate colored, any kind of people of color.
Hate humans.
No, Zbigniew Brzezinski is a white supremacist and also a Nazi. So is George Soros, even though he was born Jewish. He is also a Nazi as well. And both of them subscribe to a final solution of depopulation. Obama, they figure, is their Trojan horse because he's, you know, he's half black and everything. So that makes them think that, oh, we're being liberal and we're getting over our racism and all that. That what you don't see is that Obama's a Trojan horse for these same final solution kind of Aryan supremacy people in the background. So if anyone wants to chime in on that, I mean, that's the way I'm looking at it right now. And so false flag is part of the military-industrial complex, like 9/11. Again,
I was just thinking the other day, man, walking down this alley to go and get a pizza, that I feel more comfortable in the ghetto. In really nice white neighborhoods, I feel like I'm going to get arrested or oppressed by the man, you know?
Well, I think you confuse white people.
Yeah, something, man. They
hey,
just
Frankie, did you get my text the other day? I saw a Frankie clone, but he had two dogs with him, and he had a beard, but he really looked a lot like you. It was at a tire place, yeah.
Oh, you know, so, yeah.
Go ahead.
There's something about, the thing is, what I've always noticed in the kingdom is that among God's people, the truth of the scripture is so real as far as the fact that there is no Jew, there is no Greek, there is no slave, Scythian, whatever. I mean, for us, you know, we have that unity in the spirit that, I mean, we don't even get stuck.
You have
on
to
that.
Be an
That's
earth.
Like a moot have, point. We you, never even like.
Well, you have to be an earth dweller really to understand racism.
How they think.
Racism is an earth,
yeah.
They're
an,
united in their spirit too.
The people that
Antichrist.
Are, the people that are racist, who think that one race is superior than another, and all this other garbage. The people that really foment all that are themselves the ones going around calling people racist. You might know.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, because Zeph, one thing too, like when I was down in Mexico, Pat and I was cracking up because we were walking. Pat, you remember that? There was that lady that asked us the next day. You know, she was trying to figure us out because here's Patrick and I, and she could obviously tell that we were really close while we were walking and talking. And she passed us in the hall. And the next day she's like, she came up to me and she's just like, she said, I got to ask you this. She's like, you guys seem like you're such good friends, but she's like, how could you guys be such good friends? Cause you obviously don't seem to come from the same place. And, you know, Patrick is, you know, background from both Africa and Canada. Mine is the U.S. and Sri Lanka. We'd be the most unlikely friends in the natural, but in the realm of spirit, you know, we're family.
Amen.
Well, you two guys were here, and you just seem like, well, you know, I feel a little bit old. I mean, there's an age thing.
Oh, Zip.
But we all were like, you know, just sitting around the table, putting the tape recorder on, and people out there, you heard just what it, you know, these are, we never met them before. They just arrived here on the scene, and we were snowed in together, you know, and that kind of makes you fast friends, you know, or you're going to hate each other, you're going to kill each other, love each other, one or the other. It's gonna, you either get snowed in, and you get cabin fever, or are you going to get along? But we just got along like we'd known each other before. And
because we have.
Right.
I mean, in the realm of spirit and truly that as people press into Christ and as they become fused with the spirit, which is what God's destiny is for his people.
Yeah.
As they move into that, you meet another one that's a real one. And you've always known each other.
It is.
So
it's
these issues that the world has with race and color and all of that. I mean,
it's bizarre.
It's silly.
No, it doesn't.
It's really bizarre. It's silly.
It actually doesn't make any sense. If you know, intellectually, it makes no sense. But you see this kind of, you know, I've been looking at the kingdom of Satan for a long time, trying to understand it. You know what I mean? And I think I'm seeing a little bit deeper into it now. Just like with more attacks comes more wisdom about it. You know, I mean, if you get punched, then you kind of learn, and you know, you learn a little bit more about it. And so as I've been looking at it, you know, I realize it's like, you know, they want to divide and conquer us. We can't be conquered unless we're all divided. So part of their strategy of the earth dwellers is to keep us divided, and, you know, whether it's economically, you know, men and women as well, you know, political parties and all these different things to keep us divided so that they can keep control. And to keep this matrix, but the matrix is being blown off right now. The lid's being blown off. The veil is very thin. They're losing control. And these people, when that frightens them, you know, I want you to understand out there, they are motivated by fear. That's their biggest motivation besides, you know, lust and things like that. But fear is the big one.
And they should be afraid.
You know, but you know what, Zeph?
Go ahead, Pat.
With motivation by fear is like, it never works. At the end, you always lose. You know,
right,
people are not real, and people are not who they're supposed to be. They just fake the whole time until something big happens and everything explodes, you know?
What happens is when they get frightened, you know, then they start reacting. And when they have their, you know, toys like bombs and things, then you got to start, you know, you got to wise up and look out a little, you know, duck, you know, learn to duck. And, you know, you don't have to run at everything that's satanic out there just because it's satanic. You go run at it and bind it and throw it. You know, it's going to go its own way, but we have to kind of slip through this world, slipping in and out of situations God makes for us. He'll make a way for us to go in, then he makes a way for us to get out.
Slip away.
But sometimes, don't just go in there if God didn't make a way for you, because, you know, a lot of times, I think it was you, Govinda, that told Trish this, and I agree with you. You said, we do what we can when we can.
Exactly. And I'll be all right back. I got to let the cat in.
We can't do more than that. We do what we can when we can. Sometimes we're just having to be on hold.
Oh, I know. I mean, I just went through about 2.5 weeks of being on hold where I could barely move.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, as far as like putting, I mean, people were writing in and wondering, you know, where I am and what's going on. Look, there was nothing to give. We put out what God gives us when he does, but
you notice that lifted like yesterday.
Yeah. It's
and
I mean,
for me too.
We've been getting hammered. I mean, on a certain level, yeah, that happens, but then at the same time God's purposes are being manifest in and through this as well. But Zeph, the thing too with all of this is that when we do engage, I mean, we're fierce. You know, when we do engage, we trump the entire deck.
Yeah,
because God gives us that power.
Well, one of us can stop the can stop something from happening. Like, okay, for example,
absolutely,
if God puts you into the middle of a crowd, say at a boxing event or a concert or something, and you know, and then all those demons start roiling around, and one of us is there, it can't happen. It stops, and so souls are sometimes saved because of that. And the enemy hates that, will persecute us and try to stop us from going to, you know, Satan's events upon the earth, mm-hmm. whether they're secretive or, you know, for example, like, in my opinion, most, say, rock concerts, especially the older, bigger bands, were just really, if you will, ceremonies for Satan. They're just kind of like, you know, like going to church, if you will.
They were kind of like evangelical outreach.
Right. They were having, you know, they would be, you know, they're the priests up there, the gatekeepers holding, keeping their little cryptic lyrics, thinking that you won't get them, but then trying to raise the demonic power, raise the level of satanic power in the room at that time through their music, and then hopefully take as many as they can, especially young people who are being, you know, gang stalked or, you know, coerced by the group, peer pressure, that kind of thing, and hoping to clinch the deal of getting people to give up their souls. So, you know, this is going on everywhere all the time. And but he hasn't, you know, Satan has not won. He hasn't gotten all the souls. And but one thing, one reason for that is because of the people I call the witnesses who are upon the earth. They can't get all the souls so long as we're around. In a way, we're the protectors, okay? We're the mm-hmm. protectors.
Yeah.
So as long as we're on the earth, they can't get their way. And notice what Revelation 11
says. They would be wise
11
not to
says.
Kill all the lambs.
They are angry. They are angry that there are people that have supernatural power, okay?
Yeah.
And
the
they're angry and upset. And they celebrate when they think that all the people of God are off the earth. Okay? They actually celebrate.
How foolish.
But then what happens is God then reanimates or animates his own. And then they get all depressed again because, you see, what it's all about is that, you know, the kingdom of Satan is transferring to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And basically his people are not only animated, but a time of death comes over the whole world. And then what makes them angry is then these people are judged. And that, but here's the thing that really upsets them. When the people of the Lord are rewarded, when the prophets and the saints and all who fear his name are rewarded in front of them, mm-hmm. they get so mad. In other words, let's take it on a smaller level. They throw every whammy at the book at you to stop you from doing something they know you're going to do. Like they know you're going to do, you've announced that you're going to do something. So they throw all their forces to stopping you from being happy. But it goes through, it's a smashing success, and you are very happy. And that drives them insane.
Anybody
hey,
else noticing that
really,
static?
There's a really pretty intense marker along the road to Revelations there.
Yeah.
I'm starting to like country music, man.
What does that mean?
It's the end of everything.
That's not lesbian folk music.
Well, was it?
Man, I promise. Listen.
But isn't that a close cousin to lesbian folk music? Or
was
not?
It Satan, Your Kingdom Must
no,
Come Down?
No.
That was a breakthrough there? Is that country music?
Don't insult the southern half of America. They'll all come up and lynch us for comparing
I'm sorry.
Country music.
I like some country music a lot.
Well, you know what I mean by that is these kind of pruning
music?
Women.
I don't like the goofball stuff.
The you know.
I like the stuff that's about the Lord and stuff.
I did actually take Satan, Your Kingdom Must Come Down, the gospel tune I did. I took it to a mastering house in Los Angeles, and a very talented mastering professional. And, you know, and I got it done. Then I also did some more mastering myself, you know, of other versions, trying to see if I, you know, using that as a benchmark. But I decided to release the version that I got mastered in L.A., out. So it probably in the next 24 to 48 hours, you'll be able to download from anywhere in the world. I mean, there's like 150 outlets, plus there's some free download sites too for Satan, Your Kingdom Must Come Down.
That's very powerful. That ever since you did that song, it's been pretty wild ride for us.
Yeah.
But
I think that Roll Back the Stone is going to be one of those classic, you know,
Roll Back the Stones totally
yeah,
wanted to.
Yeah,
well, you know,
by the time
I had the mastering guy. I had them master Roll Back the Stone, and then he really liked that. But when I sent in Satan, Your Kingdom Must Come Down,
he went nuts.
He actually really dug it, but then he did tell me, you know, have a nice weekend. I wonder if that meant, like, go away. You know what I
mean?
Because I told him I had more tracks to have him master, but then you know what you do is you upload a huge file. Like the file I uploaded was like it was a 24-bit WAV file, 120 megs. Okay, that you send it, that you upload to their server, and then they download it and work on it, and then they give you a sample, and they say, and then you give them notes, right? This is, you know, and. Okay, we got somebody else calling in. I don't know who, but we got a full loaded deck here.
Yeah.
Okay, who?
You got to turn that down.
Turn your radio down.
Off.
Please.
Sorry. Okay. Hello?
Who's that?
Hey, this is Alan from Connecticut.
Alan. Hey, Alan. Nice to hear your voice.
It doesn't matter where you're from, but I mean, I just want
Alan in Connecticut. We got Alan.
Oh, wow. I'm listening online, and it's a bit behind, so I, you know. But, I just wanted to say hi, and, you know, I think you guys do a great job, and, you know, just I really always look forward to listening to the show.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Thanks.
What do you think about the 11 situation, that 11s, I'm kind of getting this 11 thing, you know, it's kind of being...
I really don't know. I'm not really much of a, like... numerology guy.
No, me neither.
The only thing I can say about that is I was born on November 11th, so.
Whoa!
That's it. You know, it's just about that. It's like,
Hey, I'm an 11 guy,
whoa.
Too. I'm an 11 guy. I'm 3/11. March 11th.
3/11?
And that's when Fukushima went down.
Mine is 11/11, so that's kind of strange. I know Brother Thomas was talking about that, too.
Lately, everywhere I look, it's 11. Like, I look, it's 11-11, 11-11. You know what I mean? It's like, it's really strange. It's like there's an 11 thing going on. But anyway, we went into the book of Revelation into, you know, the 11th chapter. And it just, you know, laid out, like, almost just mathematically, kind of like the end of the world, like the end of all this, how it's all going to wrap up. And I'd say to people, rejoice, because don't be afraid of, don't fear the reaper. You know, don't be afraid of death. If you fear God, you have nothing to worry about. If you love Jesus, you have nothing to worry about. Don't worry, because believe me, it's going to be great for you. You're going to be rewarded. Okay, believe me, you will be rewarded out there. You just have to, you know, it's going to look scary. But it's meant to scare the earth dwellers, not you. But there are earth dwellers, not everybody.
Yeah, that was interesting, the way the earth dwellers and those who destroy the earth were the same people.
Okay, now here's what we got. I want to find out. We got so loaded up here on Skype. I've never had this many people on. We have.
Hey,
okay.
Patrick, how's the season going?
Going well. We had a game last night.
Awesome. Did you win?
No, we didn't.
Oh, come on. I want you to win, man.
But it was only preseason, so it's. I mean, it doesn't count for nothing, but they want to see everybody play. It went well, and, you know, just kind of chugging along here.
The team looking good?
Yeah, a long 6 months, let me tell you that.
Yeah, that's a lot of work, man.
Yeah, a lot of work.
A lot of work. I love seeing those videos that you put up.
Yeah, they're pretty good. They did a pretty good job with them. They a lot of people are be getting a lot of feedback, so that's been pretty good.
Cool.
Well, I'm gonna...
could I just say something real quick?
Yes.
I don't want to stay too long because, like, I know it's live and I'm a bit nervous. But I remember a few weeks ago you were talking about that. You were talking about labor unions and how they kind of look down upon people and they don't really, you know, they don't help anyone, you know?
Right.
And it was strange because you said something that I think, this was in one of your podcasts, but I think it was prophetic, because I was going through a situation at work where, it's long story short, you know, a supervisor and another person did something that was illegal, you know, kind of like as a favor to someone who was losing their job and, you know, like a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, well, you know, there have been cutbacks, jobs have been eliminated.
Right.
You know, this person's our friend. We don't know him. You know, we don't know him, meaning me. Let's just kind of tell him his job is and give the job to this.
This is across the board. This whole thing in corporate America is across the board.
They have encountered their colleagues and coworkers now as piranha because they sense that there's going to be a reduction, maybe this kind of thing. So they're picking who they're going to throw off of the boat, and it's become a game.
But here's the thing.
What happened? Alan, what happened to you?
Here's the thing, Frankie. The thing is, I kind of, at the time, I was like, well, let me, you know, appeal to the union, you know, they'll help me out. Because, I had the evidence. Evidence was there. Everything was there. You know, they thought I was just kind of, because I'm the kind of guy that just, I don't really talk. I just put my head down and do my job and kind of like to go, just go home and, you know. And, so that's my thought. I'll just. You know,
I pray for him now, bro. I just pray that they're blessed. And sometimes it's really hard.
I need it.
All right, we're praying for you, Alan.
We're praying for you, Alan.
We'll pray for you in the name of Jesus that you that the Lord guide you and keep you through this whole process.
Okay, thank you. Please do pray, and also your listeners, because I know a lot of good people listen to the show.
Well,
but let me just finish real quick. Okay. Then, you know, I'll get off. And but basically, I remember, you know, that's what I'll do. And at the time, I did, and the guy I contacted was, you know, gung-ho, I'll help you, I'll do this, and it looked like they were going to help me. But it was so strange, because I was listening to your podcast, and you're talking about the labor unions, and you were just like, I don't know why you're going to them. Don't you know they look down upon people like you? You know, George Soros, and you know they look down upon you.
Yes.
And it don't really help people. And at the time, I'm thinking, what are you talking about? You know, what is that talking about? who do I go to? You know. And a couple of weeks went by, and it's a long story, but I got screwed big time by the
labor unions.
I don't know.
By the people that you went to?
Because the labor union, the guy who's supposed to be checking everything out.
Right.
The guy that's supposed to.
It's a long story, but he's friends with one of the guys involved.
Is it the SEIU?
I think they're covering for each other because lawyers were getting involved when I told them what had been told to me. And they're like, I'm calling the lawyers. And I don't know. I just got screwed big time. And I know if they're investigating it right now. But the thing is, to me, it looks like they're just covering things up because if a lot of people get into trouble if what I said was true.
My bad thoughts are about I just need to take a vacation because these people are hostile. And I'm like, why am I here?
Alan's problem is that he's honest and that, when he, you know, did what he was taught. Like, for example, I was in the union, too, the AFL-CIO for musicians, the musicians union at one, you know, way back ages and ages ago. And I was complaining about a club owner because we had to play in clubs. And, you know, I played drums back then. And anyway, so long story short, I'm the one that ends up getting kicked out of the situation because I complained about a club owner cheating us, but he had some deal going on the side with the union, and we were, so I'm complaining to the guy that's screwing me in the first place.
Yeah. Did they
try and humiliate you? Because it's crazy. Like, it's one thing to not help someone, but then just the way everything played out, it was just...
Alan, you're there as a witness, and what you're going to witness is all these people are going to get thrown out of work. And, you know, then they're going to have no one to complain about. They got no union boss to go to. You know, it's game over. The company evaporates. It goes bankrupt. And that's the end of everybody. And it's going to end up being their fault for all the corruption.
And I'm not going to even feel bad for them. I'll be honest with you. It's not. Maybe the Christ-like thing would be like just to say, well, I'll pray. But I'll be honest.
You're
kind of exposing how corrupt it is.
You will develop compassion because, I mean, in the end, you're going to just pity them, really, for sure, because they're going to be sit there crying in their beer pretty soon, and you're going to know that it was, you might want to try to teach them, you know, what goes around comes around, and, you know, if you do evil in secret, it's going to be exposed in the light, and there's nothing secret that won't be revealed. And this is just justice. This is the Lord's justice. And a lot of these people, like in different states, like, say, Wisconsin, they're complaining because they're asking them to instead of firing them.
Thank God Scott Walker persevered.
No, but instead of firing them, they're just simply asking them to contribute to their health care and to contribute to their pensions.
And you see all the communists rioting in the streets.
The alternative is the governor there could have just fired them all. Mm-hmm. You know? he could just...
Yeah. They're
So he actually saved their jobs, and now they're trying to crucify him. Yeah. So it's they can't think, and when you tell the truth to them, again, it confuses them. They only know group think. You know, they can only think of group. All right, Alan, I'm going to let you go. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you for calling in, Alan. Call back
quick.
Again.
Yeah. One thing you said that you basically said, don't you see the Lord is trying to save you from them, meaning the union? And and it kind of, like I said, it ended bad. My job is kind of gone, you know. But I think if he has, you know, his hand is in it all. And I think it's something he wanted. So
maybe he wanted you out of there.
I just want to say I appreciate
it's
the show.
Be a blessing.
I really do have love for all of you. Beth,
all right.
Thank you, Trish.
Thank you.
God bless you, Alan. Thank you so much.
It's going to work out, Alan. It's going to work out. Okay.
That's an awesome way to put it, man. The Lord's hand is in it all. You know, I mean, I just looked at the day that way when I get up in the morning. Especially, you know, if I wake up before the alarm clock goes off, I'm pretty much thinking that that's the hand of the Lord in there, and I probably ought to get up and do a day, you know, rather than not.
I wish I could sleep a little longer. I mean, I admit I wouldn't mind that, you know. But anyway, I see now.
On the beach with the breeze coming in, yes. And some pineapple something.
A hammock and a
Yeah, a hammock. Yeah, I'm searching for that idea there.
A coconut, like having a coconut with a straw in the hammock.
Hey, do they have that kind of thing in Sri Lanka?
Oh yeah, they do. You guys should all be coming over at some point.
Absolutely.
Okay, I want to put my hammock, Govinda, between two palm trees, and I want a coconut with a straw, and I just want to kick back with the island breezes going back and forth, with the sound of waves crashing, and kind of chill out there.
Yeah, but this is going to be a lot of stuff manifesting around you down there too. You're not going to get away from it.
How long will it be before someone comes up to me and tells me I'm breaking a law or something?
you'll get that. Pat knows he's coming out again.
I get it everywhere I go. I don't see why Sri Lanka would be any different. I would be like, are you sure you're following all the rules? And then when you talk to them confidently, you know, back, and you know, you understand what they're doing and what's going on, and you see the way it's working, that also upsets them quite a bit when they see that you're confident, you understand, you go, okay, I know what's happening, bro, no problem, you know, it's all right. You got to do what you got to do, you know. You know, you're a slave, and you're a pathetic, sort of unthinking, uncompassionate, filled with doubt and fear person walking around totally confused about what everything is. And so I'm going to try to help you. You know, I'm going to help you. I'm going to make it easy for you. I'm going to go ahead and, you know, get up off my hammock here. And I'm going to just walk down the beach to where it's legal for me to be. Unless you pass another law before I get there.
Well, there's definitely an element of people looking for a weak target, you know, in all of these things.
Yeah.
And whenever people see somebody that actually knows who they are, knows what they're about, and you don't back down on it, they, you know, I've noticed a lot of people with me, they walk away because they realize that they would rather... They'd rather mess somewhere else because they realize there's some repercussions on some level.
That's the thing that's amazing to me. They don't quite understand the repercussions for doing evil deeds, that it comes back on them every time and even worse than the deed they did.
Yeah, exactly.
You would think that they would, you know, try to learn that. But again, when you tell them about it, they get confused. They have this idea in their mind, which is weird, that they get away with it every time. Even though the history would tell them...
They're in denial.
Their own history would tell them it has never worked out that way.
They're totally in denial, man.
So I don't, you know, it's weird. Okay, there's nothing I can do about it. I feel sorry for them, that those people that keep repeating the same mistake over and over. And, you know, I tell them, you know, on the podcast anyway, I tell them, don't pick on any of our people. Because if you do and God sees it, he's, you know, he could kill you.
That's a public service announcement. I put that out every now and then, too, just for people's reference. Because the thing about it is that, you know, ultimately for me, I realize that these guys have this very short run around this track, which is a pretty miserable existence anyways.
Yeah.
And then they go on a grease pole to hell. So it's you know, if they don't want to cut that shorter than it already is.
Well, again, Govinda, the Bible calls them, God's word on them, what God calls them, are earth dwellers, and also they're the destroyers of the earth.
So they really don't have anything to do with the spirit.
And they're referred to by other names, but all they know is, you know, negativity, destruction, stopping someone, blocking them, you know, putting red tape in front of them, you know, or sabotaging them. You know, that's all they know. They don't know anything else, you know. And when you try to teach them something else, again, they get very confused. They don't understand, you know. And it's because God made them to be earth dwellers. That's why he can refer to them in the Bible as earth dwellers. And it's because they are spiritually not there. They don't understand something like, you know, the golden rule. That does not occur to them. Hmm. It's only what they see, and it, like, you know, they're not, look, in the end, they're just props anyway. They're just like sock puppets. They're not really real. They're there to facilitate God's plan and also to strengthen the saints, to get the saints to grow beyond their fear, beyond their limitation. And what they do is they help to strengthen us, so eventually it doesn't bother you what they do, and that's the goal of them, is to overcome them. That's when Jesus is talking about in the second chapter of Revelation, he talks about those who overcome will get that white stone. Those who overcome will get a new name. Those who overcome will be able to eat from the the tree of eternity, you know, the tree of life. You know, all the rewards then go to those who overcome. And part of the reason they're there is so we can overcome them. That's their job. They're doing their job, actually.
Absolutely.
So you can't feel angry with them. You have to, you know, part of overcoming is not to be personally angry with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because
it's realizing that it isn't personal. It's because we've been marked for light and for truth and for the kingdom and for an eternal inheritance. Oh. And they're not.
Yeah.
Right, and they get mad at that. And yeah. You know, again, back to my touchstone today is Revelation 11. Yeah. It says what angers them is that what angers them is that the wrath of God is coming to the earth, okay? It's going to be a time of the dead, all right? That the dead should be judged, you know? And they are the dead, okay? They are the dead. It's the time of the dead that shall be judged. That's them. And that also what angers them is that there's a reward given to the servants, the prophets, and the saints, and all those who fear the name of God, small and great, are rewarded. And that drives them completely and almost to suicide.
And one more thing that drives them nuts, Seth, too, is the fact that the realization that they've chosen it.
They had to choose.
They will come to that at some point sooner or later, which is the realization that all of this has been their choice. So even when they wind up in eternal separation from God, that was their choice. And so, I mean, what we encourage them to do, even as they're stabbing us in the front with a smile on their face, is, look, you don't have to choose to be like that. There is another way.
Yeah, well, that's the whole idea of martyrdom, is to show them through love and strength of God and the power of God, even though we are being slain, just like Stephen when he was stoned, they were all very afraid when they saw Stephen's reaction. You know, they couldn't believe it, and it probably he converted about 1,000 people that, you know, just from that, you know, not only then, but throughout the ages through the Bible, that story has probably converted many. Richard Wurmbrand, you know, when they were torturing him, his reaction to them converted many a guard to Christ. Because, you see, the thing is, he didn't have to defend anything. He'd already gotten, you know, he already was ready to receive his reward. He's already receiving his reward. He knew who he was. And so they couldn't shake him out of that through torturing him. And so then they become afraid, and some of them go right to their knees. And then that's a glorious day, and we love that. That's what it's all about. But we can't save our own lives, because let me ask anyone out there a question. Let's say you had your own life and you could do whatever you wanted. What would you do? I mean, you know, because we're all kind of limited because, you know, they limit us as much as they can. But what would you do? What's the goal here?
Yeah.
I'd be lazy as hell. If there were no adversary out there, I would be totally lazy.
Right. You wouldn't.
That's a good point.
You wouldn't develop into this spiritual warrior you are.
We need to be tested. We need to be.
But I mean, what would be the goal if you could do anything you want? Okay, let's say you could be like a rock star. Well, all rock stars get old, and you know, once you're past 30, you're over the hill. So, what would be the goal? You know,
I was watching these old rock videos, man. They had Steve Perry on. And I couldn't stop laughing. I've never laughed all the way through a rock video before in my life.
You mean,
but it's
Sherry?
Steve Perry? Who's that?
The singer for Journey. Trish, come on. You're not.
I'm kind of out of it. I'm not really.
He's the singer for Journey. He's got a great 1980s style voice.
Yeah. But he had to go back and just punch out all of the producers that made him look so stupid. It was, oh, God.
Really? It was what was that, a documentary?
No, it was a rock video. Steve Perry, he was just doing one of those solo rock videos, but it looked so, oh, God, man. If I could tape it and send it to you, I would.
Well, how about looking at Marilyn Manson now and then before when he's on stage telling everyone
You know, the guys you were talking about, those magicians that walk up the side of the building, I look at those tricks and those seem demonic to me, man. I get a feeling of that even through the video.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's some strange stuff with magicians. I've been around a few of them and they're completely, they got power from the dark side. And yeah, there is power to get, but that power is temporary. And it's fading and it's dying. And in this day and age, now where we are going into the tremendous judgment, because everything that's happening and going to happen the next few months is actually going to be accounted to God's side for judgment against, you know, as vengeance against, you know, those who persecute his saints. And he's going to, you know, his children, he's going to avenge that. And that's what I believe you're seeing now. I don't think you're seeing them having all these victories. And even, you know, with all the tornadoes we've seen and the fires and all the, I think these are all warning shots across the bow right now that he's coming. Yeah? So that's my take on it. John, time for you to chime in, buddy.
Okay, just listening to what you said, somewhere in the New Testament it talks about these people being like brute beasts.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We're seeing a lot of that now.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you, it's a new perspective on there. Just opened my eyes up to it. But, yeah. Without these people here, one, God wants to give us a reward, but we have to earn it. And so the only way to earn it is to go and have these people out there who are in our way, in God's way, persecuting us and stuff. Yeah, it does work out that way.
But it ends up all working for good because, you know, everything that he has spoken to happen does happen. And we know how it ends, and we know he rewards his own. So, look, folks, just remember, love the Lord, fear the name of God, fear God, love the Lord, love Jesus, be washed in his blood, be baptized by the Holy Spirit of fire now! Be baptized by that Spirit of fire right now in the name of Jesus and live, and you will be rewarded. But yes, there will be a little persecution, which is obviously, compared to everything else going on, it's incidental compared to the big picture. It's just part of our development. It's part of our character development. It's part of developing our souls, preparation for kingdom life, preparation to be his children. We need to go through this. And, you know, but anyway, all right.
Yeah, hey, Seth, also, I was looking in the Bible one time, and at the beginning of the New Testament, you know, had one of those little Rhema things, and it talks about the New Testament of our Lord and Savior. And the word "and" came in. Two separate things.
Yeah.
Our ruler, the one we obey, and our Savior, the one who saves us from the wrath to come.
And the thing is the transfer is on. The whole book of Revelation is really telling us something else, that there's going to be a great transfer of all the nations and all the kingdoms upon the earth to God, to the Creator and Christ. It's all going that way. And, you know, they know it. They're upset about it. But there's nothing they can do about it. And so this is their final kind of death rattle. And they're going to be very dangerous and very evil and very awful. But try to keep your eye on the prize, people. I know that is a cliche. Do I get a big amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. You won't hear any disagreement from our brothers here. You won't get any disagreement at all because this is what is going on. This is the, you know, this is the, you know, as they say, the you know, in boxing, this is the main event.
And well, you know, Zeph, something, too, that people can do if you struggle with this whole thing. David talked about teaching a man to number his days. And, you know, if somebody just sits down and says, okay, how much longer do you think this life is?
Exactly.
Calculate out how many days it is. I saw a post that Brother Thomas did where he talked about just the number of hours
yeah.
that a person's life might be.
Yeah. It's not just, that long.
It's
kind
not
of
that
adds
long.
Up to 666.
And if that's for a 75-year life, yeah. And most of us have lived a chunk of that already.
Yeah.
So
I've
just
already,
like you yeah. say, okay, how many hours do you think this thing will go on for? It's not that much. So, you know, the people of God, to overcome, God's not asking us an impossible task. He's asking us just to trust him to get into that place and to be about his purposes for that window that we still have.
All right, Govinda, you've got the last word. Hey, guys, I got to let you all go.
Oh, my gosh.
God bless you all.
It's time to... Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Govinda.
Hey, love you. Thanks,
everyone. We love you.
Thanks, John.
Okay, there they go. I really had to, you know, get out of there because we got to turn it around and... All right, we're going to be back on the next hour talking about the economy from someone who got a huge download from the Spirit, who was a banker, who was in the system. Everything you're worrying about now, he was there. He knows the solution. He knows the problem. We're going to talk about all that next hour. Stay right there.